I actually just kind of had my own private tour going on upon my arrival here. And wow, just wow. I'm supposed to be here, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm supposed to be here. I am so blessed to see what God is doing through your pastors, Todd and his wife. And so it's just a blessing. You guys are so blessed. I see vision in this place. A couple things I see. I see vision when I came in here. This is 3 years. This is 3 years, and this just doesn't happen often. As Todd mentioned, he and I met, your pastor and I, we met several years ago, about 12. I thought it was about 15, but it's been about 12 years, about 12 years. Now, you had crossover. I remember crossover. And so you discontinued crossover. And what was the time period between crossover and impact? About 10 years. Wow. And man, just for me to be here and just to see it, I'm telling you, man, I am so elated and so blessed just to see what God is doing through you guys. And I want to encourage you guys to follow this man of God and support this man of God. Submit yourself to this man of God, to his leadership. He's a man of integrity. He don't need me to say all that, but I need to say it. He's a man of integrity, great integrity, just pure heart, loves God, loves his family, and he loves the people of God. You are in great hands with this man. You're in better hands with him than you are with Allstate, I tell you that. And I only say that because of the commercial that they have. Now, I need to, Joshua chapter number 1, you don't have to turn that, that's not where I'm coming from. But as I saw all these scriptures on the floor, Joshua chapter number 1 is, I need to make sure I put that on the floor before I leave here. Joshua chapter 1, I think starting around verse 5 or something like that. God is talking to Joshua about being courageous. Joshua has taken over the leadership of Moses. And, you know, coming behind Moses, you know, those are some big shoes to fill. And coming behind Moses after all the great things that God had used Moses to do. And when Moses died, Joshua, of course, he's lamenting and he's grieving over his death. And it had been about 30 days. And then God comes to him and say, hey, listen, man, Moses, my servant, is dead, and I need you to get up, I need you to rise, and I need you to take the people over Jordan into the promised land, this land that's flowing with milk and honey. And so in the process of that, God really began to talk to him about courage, about being courageous. Just leadership itself requires courage. A lot of things you do in life, there are a lot of things people don't do in life. It's not because they don't lack desire. They lack courage. It's not because they don't lack the skill or the talent or the gifting. It's not because they don't have expectation. It's not because they don't have vision for it. They just lack courage. And courage is a human commodity. And so it's something that's already in you. And that's the interesting thing about courage. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. You brought it in here. It's just lying dormant. And you just have to stir it up and just be courageous. So God just constantly tells him, be courageous. He said it to him 3 times, between, I think, verses 5 through 8, all the way to verse 9. Look, I need you to be courageous. I need you to be courageous. I need you to be strong. I need you to be very courageous. I need you to be strong, which means to be courageous. I need you to be very courageous, which means to be steadfast-minded. I need to get your head fixed on this. And so, and that's what I just want to say to you. Be strong and very courageous. And as God said, he says, listen, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And I want to say this and make it more contemporary. And not to, please don't misunderstand this, not to, because there's no substitute for a natural example. As God was with me, so shall he be with you. I know what it is to have a church and close that church down. You stayed, it was a 10-year period between what you did. It was a 5-year period between what God had me do. And, man, you're on your way somewhere. I see your faith. I see your faith. I see your vision. You have to be spiritually blind to walk in this place and don't see vision and faith. And that's why the members here, you ought to be so encouraged. Don't you dare be moved by what you see. Only by the words that come out of this man of God's mouth. This man of God, I love what, and here's why God was so, here's why God was trying to get Joshua to be courageous. Because he said, Joshua, you are going to cause this people to inherit. So he's telling Joshua now, Israel inheriting has everything to do with your leadership. And so a lot of people are never brought into what they need to be brought into and what God has planned and purposed for them because of the leadership. And so you are following great leadership. You need to become Aaron's and hers that hold this man of God arms up. So this ministry can continue to win. And you got 8,000 square feet here. See, you can become so accustomed to a thing. And I'm telling you, I'm blown away, and I really am. Because I know where he was. I know what his desire has always been. Well, what God's doing here, he's going to do in your lives as well. And so you ought to be encouraged. Though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. So the only thing ahead of you in your future is great increase. Now he says your latter end should. He didn't say it automatically will. It should. So that means I got to make sure I'm doing the proper things. So it can.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good.
Because you're your greatest enemy to your increase.
Yeah.
Because you can't increase without you. You can't succeed without you. You are the ingredient in your success. Amen. So I'm excited. I don't know if I want to teach or talk or what, man. Praise God. But I am so excited. Man, if I was a part of this church, I'd be just as excited. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, you ought to be glad you're connected to this ministry. Come on, find somebody who understands what you're talking about. Because some of them act like they just kind of, well, you know. Well, come on, find you somebody. Find you somebody else and tell them, say, you ought to be glad you're connected to this ministry. Come on, tell them, say, you ought to be glad we even let you be a member here. Come on, tell them. Tell them, say, you ought to be glad we let you be a member here. Wow. Praise God. I saw the... Okay, check. Yeah, because y'all need to hear me today. So let's just stay right here till we get it right. They gonna get it right. Give a hand for the sound people. They know what they're doing. They just trying to work it out. I saw the children's church and then I saw another area and saw the kitchen. I went to the kitchen. And from the kitchen, they told me behind this curtain, this door is a fellowship hall. I said, man, y'all got too much stuff here, man. This is big. 8,000 square feet, 3 years of age. I'm telling you, I am so thrilled and so blessed to be here. I consider myself privileged and honored to be here to serve you today. And so I just love what you guys are doing. And so I'm excited about the vision of this ministry. I'm excited about the faith of your leadership. And so what God has placed in my heart today is just right on time for what I want to talk to you guys about. And so if you would go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter number 11. Genesis chapter number 11. And in Genesis chapter number 11, and while you're going there, repeat after me, God's word is life to me.
God's word is life to me.
It is health to my flesh.
As I receive the word of God,
my mind is renewed.
My faith is increased.
My understanding enlightened.
My heart is good ground
for the seed of God's word. And as I hear it today,
I get wisdom,
revelation knowledge, and in all my getting,
I get understanding.
Genesis chapter number 11. And Pastor Todd, I don't normally go anywhere on Sundays. I'm normally at Water Restoration on Sundays. I don't normally go out on Sunday. It's a rare occasion that I go out on Sunday, especially in the city. And I just believe the Lord wanted me to be here. My goodness. Glory to God. Now, there he is. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of information today. I'm going to give you some information. But more than just information, I want you to catch the impartation of what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. Because I'm telling you, you guys are right at the brink of something big.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I'm only, and listen, and I'm only talking to those who are ready for something big.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Those who are ready for that next level, that next dimension.
Yes, sir.
To go to that next place in God. Like the pastor's book, those who are ready to cross over.
Yeah.
I make this statement all the time. I don't have a problem with someone who don't have. I have a problem with someone who just don't want anything. And so those who want more, who want better, who are looking for increase in their spiritual life with God, in their walk with God, in ministry, in their family, in their career, their vocation, financially, those who are looking for the next place, there's an impartation to get you there, and there's a reason God has you connected to this ministry here.
Yeah.
This man of God shall cause you to inherit. I'm going to say that again. This man of God, your pastor, is going to cause you to inherit. Amen. So in Genesis chapter number 11, we're going to read verse 6. However, before we do that, I just want to explain the context surrounding this particular text, verse number 6. And so according to this biblical account, we have a united humanity of generations who have surfaced after the flood. This is after the great flood. Having migrated from the east, they are now in this land called Shinar. Say Shinar. Now, what's unique about this people is they have one language. One language. It was Nimrod, the son of Cush, the grandson of Ham, and the great-grandson of Noah, who excited the people and led them to build a city which had a tower, and the top of that tower was to reach into heaven. Their intent was to make a name for themselves and then prevent themselves from being scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Of course, this gets God's attention. And he comes down and see both the city and the tower which the people were building. So God responds in verse number 6. And let's look at that. Verse 6 says, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Let's read that together. Ready? Read. "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." So God now, he comes down and he confounds, or he confuses their language. Remember, they had one speech. And the purpose behind that is to keep them from understanding each other's speech, and he scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Message Bible, I love how the Message Bible reads in verse number 6. It says, "God took one look and said, one people, one language." Wow, this is only the first step. No telling what they'll come up with next. They'll stop at nothing. No telling what they'll come up with next. They will stop at what? Nothing. Here's my subject matter, just to give you a thought what we're going to be talking about. And this subject matter, it really kind of sounds contradictory to the text and the context that we just talked to you about and the text that we just read. Because God confounded their language, he stopped their progress. But I want to give you this thought, and we're going to talk around this thought today. There's no stopping us now. There's no stopping us now. Now, the reason I say it could be contradictory, because God now, he stops their progress. He confounds their language. They have gotten his attention by what they're doing, their efforts. And so God, he comes down, confounds them, confuses them. There's no more understanding left. They're no longer one. They're no longer saying the same thing. And so God, he stops their progress. It's a bad day when God stops your progress. It's a bad day when God cut off, you know, your advancement in life. And so he stops their progress. And so there's no stopping us now. Say that. There's no stopping us now. Say it again. There's no stopping us now. There's a song that they used to sing years ago. And the song said, "Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move." And so that's where I believe you are. That there is no stopping you now. You are on the move.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, say that. Say there's no stopping us now.
There's no stopping us now.
We're on the move.
We're on the move.
Amen. See, you need to take that home. You need to take that to school. I mean in your career. That there's no stopping me now. I'm on the move.
Yeah.
Amen. So now, but what we have to understand now is the reason God stopped their progress, so that as we are on the move, we don't run into a roadblock that God has set up, where he stops and prohibits our progress. And so with that, I want to look at four things that cause God to stop their progress, and then we're going to look at five things that we can incorporate, five attitudes that we can incorporate to where we become an unstoppable ministry. Yeah. Unstoppable ministry. Amen? Now, so let's look at these four reasons. It's important that we notice unity in the text. We see unity in the text. But let's look at verse number two before I give you these four reasons. Let's just get some backdrop here. And this just kind of solidifies all the things that I said in my introduction. So look at verse number two. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar." Verse 4, "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Drop down to verse number 7. He says, go to, this is God talking, go to, let us go down, and there confound or confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad and from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound their language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So four things that we want to look at that cause God to stop their progress. Four things. Number one is their rebellion against God. Their rebellion against God. Now, how do we see rebellion in this particular text and context? Well, God had already made it clear that they were to be scattered abroad over all the earth, the face of the entire earth. They said, listen, we're not going to be scattered. We're not going to be scattered. What we're going to do, we're going to find us a place, and we're going to stay in that place, in that locale, and we're going to build us a city. I know God wants us scattered abroad on the face of all the earth, but we're going to find us a place where we're going to stay. So that's rebellion against God. When you go against what God says, it's to rebel against God. So rebellion against God, that's the first thing. Second thing is their pride before God. Their pride before God. How many know pride goes before what? A fall. And before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So I call pride a personal escort to your destruction. It's a personal escort. You have gotten you a personal escort to lead you to destruction. That's what pride is. Now, and so we see their pride before God. Now, how do we see pride in that context? They said, we're going to make us a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
I know, you know, and if they would have just waited, this is chapter 6, if they would have just waited 6 chapters later, then they would have heard God tell Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. You don't have to try to make a name for yourself. I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm doing it. So, no, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make a name for myself. How many people are in ministry trying to make a name for themselves?
Yeah.
It's not about God. It's not about the kingdom of God. It's not about the people of God. It's about trying to make a name for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I see an opportunity to make a name for myself. So that's what they said. They said, come on, let us go and let us make us a name. So it's pride before God. So God stopped their progress. Number 3, the third thing we see is their religious efforts to reach God. Their religious efforts to reach God. I saw on the video earlier how someone says, you know, we're not religious. We hate religion. And so we see their religious efforts to reach God. Now, how do you see that in this context? Well, they said, listen, we're going to build us a city and a tower, and it's going to reach unto heaven. So this is going to be our way of reaching where God is. And so these are man-made religious efforts to reach God. And that's what happens even in the kingdom of God. We come up with all of these rituals and all of these traditions and all of these things. You got to do this and you got to do that. And all these things you have to do just to reach God. And so it's religious efforts in an attempt to reach God. And then finally, we see their lack of faith in God. Their lack of faith in God. How do you see that in that context? Well, the Bible describes what they built the city out of. Now, God had already promised that the world will no longer experience a flood and end by water. God had already said that. Now, the material that they used to build this city, it was waterproof. Look, we know God said he's not going to, destroy the world the world's not going to end with water. But listen, we don't trust that. So we're going to make sure that the city we build is waterproof. And so it demonstrates their lack of faith in God. So these are four things it's important to note. This is why God stopped their progress, because we know now the principle of unity works. The principle of unity works because of their unity. They are moving forward. They're progressing. They're succeeding in their attempts. But then these other four things that are the undercurrent gets God's attention, and God puts a stop to their progress. It's a bad day when God puts a stop to your progress. Amen. We want to make sure that what we're doing is not laced with pride. It's not laced with a lack of faith in God. It's not laced with rebellion. Amen. And so we want to make sure that what we're doing for the right motive. See, God looks at the motor. What's turning what you're doing? Not just what you're doing, but what's turning that? You know, not just being the husband you're supposed to be, but what's turning that? Why are you doing that? Not just being the wife God's called you to, but why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you loving your wife like Christ loved the church? What's that motive that's turning that? Amen. So why are you serving in ministry? What's behind that? What's the motive that's turning that? Amen. So now I want to, for the rest of the way, I want to look at five attitudes. Five attitudes. And I like to call these attitudes because attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Michael Jordan, who was, in my opinion, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, in my opinion. But here's what I want to say. Michael Jordan himself made the statement that the greatest basketball players are not in the NBA. This is when he was playing. He said the greatest ball players are not in the NBA. He said they're at the park playing ball. But the reason they're not in the NBA is because of this very thing. I'm talking to you about attitude. They have skill, they have talent, they have desire, but they have bad attitude. Amen. And so your attitude, your mental perception and perspective about things, your attitude. Attitude is everything. Attitude is greater than your skill or your talent. And many people spend time working on the things that are on the outside. Oh, watch this. Many people spend time working on the thing that'll get them in the door, but they never work on the thing that'll keep them in the room.
That's good.
And the thing that keeps you in the room is your character, your integrity. You know, because I've discovered, you know, as a CEO, as an employer, I discovered when you're employing people, and just because people, you know, they have all the skills and all this kind of thing, that doesn't mean anything about their work ethic. That doesn't mean they don't gossip in the office. Because they didn't put gossiper on their resume. I didn't find that out till I hired them. And so unstoppable. See, that's what I want you to be in your marriage, unstoppable. That's what I want you to be in your family, unstoppable. In your career, unstoppable. Where your dreams and where your desires are concerned, unstoppable. Say, unstoppable,
unstoppable.
Is the will of God,
for my life.
Amen. Say it again. Say, to be unstoppable, is God's undeniable will
for my life.
And I shall live an
unstoppable life.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's in every arena of life. So go to let's establish first that unstoppable is the will of God for us. Let's establish that. Unstoppable is the will of God for us. Go to Romans chapter number 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse number 31. Romans 8 and 31. Unstoppable means to be impossible to stop, impossible to prevent, to resist, or defeat. Unstoppable. It means you cannot be denied. And how many know that comes with an attitude? I will not be denied. How many know? Never let no discourage you. Because if I get a no, that means only a couple of things. Either I didn't talk to the wrong person, or I need to go back and work on my presentation. Because no today doesn't mean no forever.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that comes with an attitude if you're going to be undeniable, because there are a lot of things in life that there are a lot of things that the devil himself is going to use to try to keep you from going forward. Think you can't do better. Think you can't have God's best in areas of your life. And so he's always going to try to do something to stop you. But if you have this attitude of a conqueror, an attitude of a victor, and not some attitude of a victim. Amen. Then that means you're just going to rise up, because you got to understand that faith is a fight. Faith is not a walk in the park. Faith doesn't make life easy. Faith makes life possible. Amen. And we fight that good fight of faith. So in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31, let's look at that one. Romans 8:31 says, if God be, come on, for us. If God be what? For us, then what? Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who's going to stop us? If God is for us, who's going to deny us? If God is for you, nobody can stop you. If he's for you, he's more than the world is against you. Now, you got to understand that with God, well, we know all things are possible with him. And if we believe, all things become possible for us. But with God, the Bible lets us know that with him, that we have everything we need. And so no one can stop us if we are with God. If God be for us, who can be again? Who going to stop us? Tell me, what's going to stop us when God is with us? Who's going to keep us from the land we believe in for if God is for us? Who's going to stop us from going to another place when God is for us? Who's going to stop God from filling up this building when he's for us? Hallelujah. Who's going to stop God from bringing the past, the dream that the pastor talked about, the vision he talked about earlier, the Elijah project of building these homes and then giving them, giving the deed of them to these individuals? Who's going to stop you when God is for you? What organization, what board, what committee, what government, what party, political party is going to stop you when G-O-D is for you? But see, that doesn't mean anything if you don't know how awesome God is. But when you understand how awesome God is, this is the same God that sent Moses, who had a speech impediment, that sent Moses to Pharaoh and commanded him the release of the people of Israel, and he eventually had to let them go. Now, he tried not to, but even he couldn't stay away from what God had for him. This is the same one that went to the Red Sea, and they say, man, we can't cross no Red Sea. And he said, man, just lift up that rod in your hand. And he raised that rod, and the Red Sea divided. That those waters stood tall. You know, now, they say, you know, the people who study and all that, they say, well, you know, it really wasn't no miracle because, you know, the Red Sea, it was only 2 feet deep. You know, because somebody always trying to take away from what God's doing in your life. They're always trying to minimize what God's doing in your life. But see, I'm like this. If it's 2 feet of water, then we've got a greater miracle, because the whole army drowned in 2 feet of water. now you know you bad. You know you bad when you can drown somebody in 2 feet of water. Archaeologist says that. That's what archaeologist says. But now if God is for us, if God is for us, who gonna be against us? You cannot be denied. You cannot be stopped. You can't be defeated. God is with you. And you have him with you. He's already, he that started the good work in this ministry, he is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there's no stopping us now. Tell your neighbor, say, there's no stopping us now. We're on the move. Come on, say it like the song. Say, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. Ain't just got a little more power to it, you know. Just let me read that from the Message Bible. Look what the Message Bible says. I'm trying to get you to see that with God, you are unstoppable. You can get that house. You can believe God for the salvation of your children. Amen. You can believe God for lost relatives. You can believe God for souls. God say he'll give you the nations. You can believe God for souls. You can believe God for this to be a multicultural congregation. You can believe God for that, and nothing can stop you. Amen. Only thing you have to do is make sure you stay away from pride, trying to make a name for yourself. Well, you really say you're doing it for God, but really you're just trying to be seen.
Yeah.
Trying to be the biggest on the block. The only one in the family with it. And God will stop your progress. Because it have to be about him. And it's amazing that God who strengthens us, who gets us through situation, who blesses us, and who feeds us and clothes us and take care of us and gives us air to breathe and all these things that God does. It's amazing. He wants all the glory. Seems logical to me. If he's doing all that, you don't have any air to breathe. Yeah, where your ass? Amen. What if God start charging for air? Yeah, you get behind on that bill. I'm late on my air bill this month. Here's what the Message Bible says. With God on our side like this, how can we lose? Impact, how can you lose when God's on your side? The New Century Version says, if God is for us, no one can defeat us. No one can defeat us. Can I tell you that defeat doesn't come from without, it comes from within? No one can defeat you. Many times we have inferior thinking. We think we're inferior, insignificant. That we have very little potential and we don't qualify. So it doesn't come from without, it comes from within. Look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. And I'm just trying to build your faith right now to show you that you are unstoppable. You're unstoppable. You cannot be denied. Say, I will not be denied. Look what he says in verse number 4. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because what? Greater is he that is where? In you than what? He that is in the world. So the greater one is on the inside of you. The one who has the power, the one who possesses the power, the one who has all power. Power belongs to God. And the Bible said that's who lives on the inside of you. And so because of him, because he's in you, you are unstoppable. Let's look at one more, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The bank can't deny you. Hey man, just because they tell you no, that's not the only bank in town. Amen. God will turn it around for you. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest to save of his knowledge by us in every place. The New Life Version. The New Life Version reads it like this. We thank God for the power of Christ. We thank God for the power Christ has given us. Watch this. He leads us and makes us win in everything. He leads us and makes us win in what?
Yeah.
Everything. Say, I win in everything.
I win in everything.
See, we play till we win. If it get dark, we turn on the lights. We don't play 9 innings. We don't go for 15 rounds. We don't play 4 quarters. We play till we win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen. Amen. He always calls us to triumph. It doesn't matter what you face, God's going to cause you to triumph. He's going to cause you to overcome. Amen. So let's look at these 5 attitudes of an unstoppable ministry. 5 attitudes of an unstoppable ministry. Of course, I'll just be able to just kind of give you some information from each one, but I want you to have all of them with my remaining time. So the first attitude is an attitude of unity. An attitude of unity. It's important that you stay unified. And here's the unfortunate thing. Just because we're all in this room, that doesn't mean we're all unified with the vision of this house. But unity is important. Unity, I see unity as, how do you spell unity? U-N-I-T-Y. I see it as you and I teaming and yoking. That's unity. It's you and I teaming and yoking. You and I coming together, forming a team, and yoking together and staying together. That's unity. You and I teaming and yoking. In marriage, you and I teaming and yoking. With the family, you and I teaming and yoking. In business, your business partner, you and I teaming and yoking. In ministry, you and I teaming and yoking. We can do more together than we can apart. Unity. It takes unity. Nimrod was able to create a culture that caused the people to be unified. They had one language, unity. And so unity is the first attitude. If you look in verse 6, he says it in verse 6. He says, behold, the people is one, and they have all, how many languages? One language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, unity is this place of commanded blessings and the provision of lasting favor. It's the place of commanded blessings, that when you are in that place of unity, God commands blessings on you. He commands blessings on you, but then not only does he command blessings, but then he provides lasting favor. When you have favor, people do stuff for you, and they have no idea why they do stuff for you. When you have favor, people take on your problem as if it's their own, and they resolve it for you. When you have favor, people make purchases for you of things you didn't have the resources to purchase for yourself. When you have favor, they pull you from the back of the line and move you up to the front of the line. Come on now, when you have favor. And so when you are unified, God commands blessings. Not only does he command blessing, but he provides not temporary favor, but lasting favor. Not favor that just lasts for a moment, but it's lasting favor. Every time you look around, God's raising up somebody to use their power, their ability, their influence, even their wealth, just to advance you. It's called favor. It's when you don't qualify. It's when you don't have the credit, but you still end up getting it. It's called the favor of God. And that's what God provides when you are unified. But when we got a group over here and a group over here and a group over there, no, God can't work in that. But it's when we're unified, when we are one, God commands blessings and favor on your life. Commands the favor on you. Amen. And so how is it, you know, how is it that a church, 3 years, how long you been here?
1 year.
You've been here 1 year. So when you were two, when the church was two, you guys acquired this space, 8,000 square feet. Do like this. Like you're smelling something. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, smell like favor. That smell like favor to me. You don't even have the history. You don't even have the history for 8,000 square. I can only imagine what the landlord thought when you approached him about acquiring this. And how many people you had? 20 people. Come on, you ought to just slap the person sitting next to you. Come on, you. What is that, people? That's favor. When the financials don't line up, when the number of people don't line up, when the years of history of the ministry don't line up, but then the landlord say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. He have no, and it may be against every business principle that he's ever lived by and that he's patterned his life and his business after, and he probably had no idea why he was doing it, but he gave you an opportunity. It's called favor. It's called favor when you don't qualify for the job, when your resume don't line up, and everybody else's resume, it lines up, but then they choose you. It's called favor, and when you're unified, that's what you could expect.
I declare a consistent flow of favor on this ministry in Jesus' name. And it only starts at the top, but it flows down to the rest of the body. You are getting ready to experience a tsunami of favor in your life. Praise God. Come on, man. Receive that. Say, I'm getting ready for favor. You know how it is? You know how it is when hurricane season comes. Normally when hurricane season comes and we listen to the meteorologists and based on what they're telling us concerning the hurricane, you know, we're trying to make decisions whether we're gonna stay home, whether we're gonna evacuate, you know, whether we're gonna take shelter somewhere else and we're boarding up, you know, our windows and things like that. You know, we're trying to do everything we need to do because we're getting ready for this hurricane that may be coming. And then if it's a category to where it's gonna be very detrimental, then we will evacuate. But this tsunami that's coming, listen, folks, I'm not trying to go anywhere. I'm staying right here. Matter of fact, I'm not boarding up the window. I'm letting the window up. Why? Because I want all the favor that God has for me to just come in and just flood my house, flood my life, flood my business, flood my family, flood my ministry. I'm ready for favor. Praise God. Favor's coming. And guess what? It got your address. It got your address. It got your email address. It got your Facebook page. It got your phone number. Favor gonna be looking for you. And don't you dare be trying to hide from favor. Bring the favor on. Matter of fact, favor, I've been waiting on you. Open the door and welcome the favor of God in your house. Praise God. But see, that only happens when we are unified. We can't afford to be divided because we miss out on the favor of God. Amen? So when we're unified, if you should be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 10. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak what? Different thing? Same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. How many divisions? No divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly what? Joined, come on, together in the same mind, which means understanding, and in the same what? Judgment or purpose. That there be no divisions among us. We cannot afford. Division is a luxury we can't afford. Division, die, which means two. Vision means one sight. So when we have division, then that means we have two different sites. And any house with more than one site will fall. A house divided against itself, it can't stand. A ministry divided against itself. Again, I want to remind you, your defeat is not from without. Your defeat is from within. Amen? Hey, nobody can destroy your marriage. That comes from within. It doesn't matter the rocks they throw, the things they say. That comes from within. Amen. So here's some things. Whenever people are unified as one, it opens a world of possibilities for them. A world of possibilities open for you when you're unified. When people are one, there's a greater possibility for what is imagined. Let's move on to the next one. The next attitude. We can say much more about that. Let's move on to the next. And you got to work at keeping unity. The Bible says you got to endeavor to keep the unity. You got to desire it, and then you got to put forth the maximum effort to keep the unity. Because the enemy is always trying to divide. The second attitude is an attitude of submission. If you're going to become unstoppable, there must be an attitude of submission. An attitude of submission. Go to Acts chapter 16. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is an action. You can obey without submitting. Okay. You ever tell your son to cut the grass? And he cut it. But by the way he cut it, you can tell he didn't submit. No, because see, the Bible says you have to be willing and obedient. So you can be obedient without being willing. You can see it in how they wash the dishes. Oh, they were obedient. But ain't no willingness in them dishes. Amen. Amen. Same thing at work, on your job. We're here, but you can tell who's willing and who's not. So obedience is this action, but submission, it is the yielding to the will and authority of another. So in this house, there are four things you need to submit to. I encourage you to submit to. Number one, always the voice of God. Submit to the voice of God. What is God telling you in this house? What is your part? What is your role? What is God speaking to you about doing? What does this ministry need that you have and you've not submitted it to God yet? Amen. You know, we're always needing partners and volunteers and people to get involved. And God's speaking to you about that. And for those of you who can't hear the voice of God, you hear the voice of the man of God saying this is what we need. Hello? But will I submit that to the ministry? So submit to the voice of God. Number two, you got to submit to the vision of the house. The vision of the house. That's one vision for this house. And we have to submit to the vision of the house. Number three, submit to the visionary of the house. Submit to the visionary of the house. That's the leader. And then lastly, you got to submit to the volunteers in the house. The volunteers in the house. You know, you have partners and ministry workers and helps workers and you know, ushers and all of that. And you know, some people they just won't submit to the volunteers. And it's amazing. We'll go to the Reliant, well, the NRG now, and you know, and just park wherever they tell us to park. Just sit wherever they tell us to sit. And then when it comes to the house of God, you know, we expanded our parking lot. Needed to expand our parking lot, and so we expanded the parking lot because now watch this. Now where our church is. So we had people parking across the street at the school building, and they would shuttle them over. And so we saw the need to expand the parking lot. So we expanded the parking lot so people wouldn't have to park across the street. Then people come in late and say, well, you know, now park over here. Well, why we got to park over there? I said, well, just tell them to go park across the street and walk across from the school then. Some people just won't submit to the volunteers. They just have their own way of doing things. Come on, check your neighbor, make sure you're not sitting by one of them. The failure to submit to God, the failure to submit to God-ordained authority is to resist God's ordained order. So in verse number 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. We see here where Paul, he shares the vision that God has put before him regarding this man over in Macedonia. And the people say when Paul saw the vision, they never saw it, but they were connected to Paul. And when they saw the vision, when Paul saw the vision, the Bible said, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that God had called us. And so it's important that we submit ourselves to the vision and the visionary of the house. Number three, attitude number three. A few seconds. Attitude number three is an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. This makes you unstoppable. How many know that God promotes humble people? If we humble ourselves under the hand of God, in due time, what is God going to do? Exalt us. He's going to promote us. He's going to raise us up. I talked about how 8,000 square feet, 3 years, been here 2 years. And look at you. You're committed to this ministry. And you're serving and you're coming and you're doing great things and you're on the horizon for great things even in the future. Here's what I want to say to you. Don't get lifted up in pride. Don't get lifted up in pride. Don't do what you do trying to make a name for yourself. Always do what you do for the glory of God. Always do what you do so God can be glorified. If you always do what you do so God can be glorified, then God will continue to exalt you. Why? Because God knows at every level, you're going to raise him up. See, every time you raise him up, he raise you up. And when he raise you up, you raise him up. And when you raise him up, he raise you up. And when he raise you up, you raise him up. And when you raise him up, he raise you up. He just keep on raising as long as you keep raising. And you always want people to come here and see God. Not see the pastor. You want them to see God. Not see the dancers, but to see God. Not see the worship leader, but to see God. Amen. Amen. So humility, an attitude of humility. Unselfishness is the energy for humility. Unselfishness is the energy for humility, and humility is the gateway to promotion and increase. Let's move to number four. I have to hurry. Number four. An attitude of relationship versus religion. An attitude of relationship versus religion. People are so tired of religion. Religion doesn't work. Religion work you. Relationship is a rest in him. Amen. And so go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'll start reading at verse number 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching stuff that man came up with. Philosophy. What man say, man's opinion. Teaching what the talk show say. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Drop down to verse 13. It says, making the word of God of none effect through your what? Tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So this attitude of relationship versus religion. You want people to be able to come here and get the word of God. People to be able to come here and experience God. And not run into a bunch of rules and rituals and regulations. And you got to do this to come. And you have to do this. And you have to do all this. And you got to wear this. And you have to be wearing that. And you need three hats on and all that kind. You know, just a bunch of rules that don't make any sense. That block people from coming to God. Amen. Because, you know, we say come as you are, but then when they come as you are, we try to change them. But people can only be where they are. They can't be anywhere else other than where they are. Are you listening? You don't know who just walked in off the street. But then your dress code don't fit our ritual. You need to put on something else. You can't come in here like that. You know, Jesus ministered to a guy in a graveyard who was naked. Oh, yeah, he was naked. Because the Bible points out that once Jesus delivered him, they saw him clothed and in his right mind. Why even bring up the fact the man had clothes on unless he didn't have on any before? I wouldn't say, man, I saw so-and-so and he has some clothes on. Unless he was known for not wearing clothes. All right. So this last one, and I'm done. Let me just give you this last attitude, and I have to stop. An attitude of faith. An attitude of faith. Why is an attitude of faith important? Because at every turn, at every juncture in this ministry, and not only just in this ministry, but even in your life, you're going to have to use your faith. How are these chairs going to get filled? By us using our faith. How is carpet going to get on the floor? By us using our faith. How are we going to complete the facility? By using our faith. Because, see, faith, it puts pressure on God and not on people. And when you're in faith, you got to have the word in your mouth and the word in your heart. You got it in your heart so you can believe it, but it's in your mouth so you can speak it. So you can't get moved by what you see. I remember he was talking about how y'all used to have to go somewhere else and use the restroom. I remember when we started, our ministry is 13 years of age, and I remember when we started, we were in a warehouse. And so we started in the warehouse. I think we were
we were four, we was just two, we was in the school. We were a little over a year old because we started in a community center. Then we went to an elementary school, and 6 months later, we located this facility, 10,000 square feet. We moved into it. It was a warehouse. Didn't have any restroom. The guy had just finished it, and so we went into it. It was a shell, kind of like what you have. We put all the walls and all that kind of thing. But it didn't have restrooms, and we didn't have the resources to get the restrooms put in. They was called like $14,000 at that time. And so what we did, because, you know, people still got to use restrooms. And so right before I got up to teach the word, we had a van. And we say, okay, if you gotta use the restroom, got the van outside, they're gonna take you down to the service station and bring you back. That's what we used to do. So we had a restroom shuttle van. See, you can have all kind of stuff in ministry, man. And yeah, so the guy who owned the service station, you know, he knew about this time we'd be coming in, so he let the church go in, use the restroom, and we come on out, then come on, all right, y'all sit on down, let's pray. So how did we get those restrooms in? We used our faith. We didn't go around begging and asking, you know, can you help the church? No, we believed God. We believed God, and we finally got that facility complete, but we used our faith. Then from there, in 2005, when we were 4 years of age, God showed us this property, 44 acres of land, at the age of four. And we didn't have a whole lot of people. And we released our faith for that land. We believed God for the land. We sat down and talked with the owner, with my board and our realtor, and we sat down and met with the guy named was John McLean. We sat down with Mr. McLean, and so we start looking at the land. We're sitting in his house. And he said, how can I help you? He said, well, we're interested in buying this land, 44 acres. And we don't have but a few people. We're down there in the warehouse. And he says, well, you know, he wanted $1.4 million for the land. He had an offer on the table from a developer of $2.1 million, cash. A developer, $2.1. The guy really wanted the land. And so he said, well, you know, I have an offer on the table for $2.1 million. I said, yes, sir, and we verified it was so. I said, yes, sir, I understand. He said, well, what you offering? I said, $1.4 million. And he said, he looked at me, and God spoke to me and said, share with him the vision, because God told us to build him a city. And so I shared the vision with him and why we needed the land and what God was going to do, da-da-da, went through all that. And he looked, he said, I want y'all to have the land. Now watch this. He said, I need y'all to give me $100,000. I said, we don't have $100,000. The man said, you don't have $100,000? I said, no, sir. I said, but if you give us 90 days, we'll close on this land. He said, well, what do you have? We had $56,000. I said, I have $50,000. He said, well, give me that. So we gave him the 50. Then we went to the bank, and the bank say, we'll close in 90 days, but you need $300,000. We got $6,000 left. Somebody say faith. We have $6,000 left. I went back to the church. I sat down before the congregation. I shared the vision for the land and for the city that God had told us to build, and we believe in God for this land. I'm going to pray, and God's going to give us the money. And people start giving. And in 90 days, we had $316,000. Faith. Faith. And that's what it's going to take for you. Using your faith, not being moved, not thinking something's too big for you. Well, Pastor, Brother Pastor, well, you know, we don't have that. Well, I know where we can get it from. Heaven got it. Heaven had it. Joel Osteen made a statement one Sunday morning. He said, I have some good news and bad news. He said, I'll give you the good news first. The good news is we have everything we need to finish this building. Talking about the center that they're in. We have everything we need to complete this facility and renovate it. Everybody start clapping. He said, now here's bad news. I got to get it from y'all.
God honors faith. You walk by faith. Don't be moved by what you see on those windows. When you look at, you can look on those windows and see paper, or you can see drapery. Life is about perspective. Life is about how you see it. You can think this is hard, or you can think this plush. Say, God, this is show plush. you cannot be moved by what you see. God blessed us and brought us to where we are because we used our faith. And we today, you never get to the place where you stop using your faith. And we are still using our faith for big things. And that's how you're going to make it. You have everything you need in the form of faith. And as you stay unified and release your faith together and believe God, this place won't be able to hold you. You'll be looking for that land where you can build a house where people can come and receive what you've been getting from this man and woman of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Thank you for your time. I'm out of time, and thank you for yours. God bless you, Pastor.